And then from then on, and my first obus was in Ireland, actually. My first obus was in Ireland, and it had such an impact. We had as a child, we didn't really go on holidays. My only holiday before that was I think it might have been two, I don't can't remember if it was a week or 2 weeks, but it was a period of time in Hastings. We had two holidays, sorry. One was in a house in somewhere in Surrey, Horsham, somewhere around there, I think. So we did have a holiday in Surrey. I can't remember how old I was, with my mum. And then the holiday in Hastings with family was with my mother. And then the only time I remember having a holiday with my father being present was a week in Hastings. And the reason for that is because many parents, many Poles, those that got work, those that learnt the language, those that had skills, those that were able to, would buy their house. And back in those days, the only way to be able to afford to buy a house would be to work. So, and if you've got children, yet very young children, then the mother would be bringing up the children. We were going to primary school, so the house would be big enough to rent out rooms. And this is how we were able to get by. So in my case, I was just thinking about this the other earlier this morning, and I was counting how many lodgers we had, in the house, because they bought a big house here in Balham, and I hadn't been born yet, so my parents were in East London, which is traditionally the area that most refugees, the long history of new influx of communities from all over the world would first settle in East London. So you have the Jews before that, Jewish community, the Bengali community after the Polish. So there's a very, very rich heritage and history of communities coming to London and settling in East London first. I guess it was sort of the cheapest place to live. In time, when my father had managed, he was a printer. He had a trade when he came to England. So he didn't have to, he had a skill that had value in those days. The print was booming. And so the difficulty he had in getting work was because it was the print was unionized, and it was what they call a closed shop. So unless you knew somebody to help get you in, it was quite hard for an outsider, if you like. In any case, it was difficult for Poles to find work. It was a struggle. You had to learn the language. You had to prove yourself. You were competing against English people looking for work. You were maybe sometimes considered with suspicion, because as a Pole, whatever the English people knew about Poland was that it was communist. if they didn't know the history and the contribution that the Poles had made to the overthrowing the fascist regime, and also especially in the Battle of Britain with the Polish Air Force. If they didn't know that, then there may well be some suspicion. But I think in the main it was because it was a close shot. But anyway, my father did eventually manage to secure a position in a print works called Waterloo and Sons, Waterloo and Sons, sorry, with a W at the end, in Worship Street in East London. And having had several other printing jobs before that, and that was where he worked for his entire life. So because he had a steady income, he could then they could afford to buy a house. So they bought down here in Balham. Why they bought here in Balham, I can only guess. I could only guess that friends and people who they knew were also buying in this area. It wasn't, the houses were affordable, presumably. So they bought and they rented. And so my brother and I would be in one room. My parents would be sleeping on we called it a put-you-up, but that's the Polish word, a new Polish word, put-you-up. It was a sofa bed called put-you-up. We call it a put-you-up. And they would take, that would be in the living room. So it was a sofa in the day. It was a bed at night, and they would sleep there. So to make room, because every house had, every room in the house had a sink in it, so running water. So I'm guessing, again, I don't know, but I would have, I don't know if that was the standard design in those days, for a big Belfast sink to be in the corner of every room. I think that's how they were built in those days, the big houses. But anyway, so it was kind of, there was one bathroom. So we all had to take turns to go to the bathroom. Fortunately, there were two toilets, one outdoor toilet and one indoor toilet, which is separate from the bathroom. So we as a family would live downstairs and all the lodgers would live above us, and so they would have priority really over the bath. We would wash in basins in the kitchen. The kitchen was a sort of a lean-to greenhouse originally. It was freezing cold, we would have an old a sort of paraffin heater in the kitchen, heating up that space. Used to stink if it got too fumey, paraffin really stinks. And we would have coal fire in the living room, so every morning we would have to set the coal fire, light it up, and then the kitchen would be heated by a paraffin lamp, or by opening the door of the oven and keeping the oven on. So that would throw the heat out into the kitchen. Mm. And we would sort of boil up some water, put it in a big tin basin, stick it on a stool and wash, armpits and neck and behind the ears, and bit by bit so as not to expose too much to the cold air. So that's how, and then we would have, obviously we would have bath nights as well. But and I do remember sitting in a bath with my brother opposite me in the bath. I mean, I must have been about five or something, maybe younger, four. So there would always be people in the house. And there was a friend of my father's who obviously had a similar history and had come to England, was also a printer. And he was called Alexander Stankevich, and he lived with us until he became too old to manage the stairs, and eventually he got, you know, many, many, many years. But we used to call him Vujek Stanek. Vujek Stanek used to live with us. But the other people, the other lodgers, I remember a lady called Mrs. Walker, who looked after us after my mother died and before my father managed to get his younger sister over from Poland to look after us. I think she came from Poland. Maybe she was in England already, I don't know. But I think she was in Poland. But anyway, she came over to look after us because he was at work and we were on our own. So my auntie, who we didn't like, we thought she was a bit of a witch, really. She had a big spot on her nose. So Ciocia Skropko na nosie, we called her. The aunt with the spot on her nose. And she was very strict. She was very authoritarian. She came from a ze wsi, you know, from the country, you know, and children were always naughty. And so we became very naughty when we were around her. We used to try and play tricks on her and run away and see if we could get away with it. But then after when Dad, my father remarried, then I was introduced to my new mother, you know, and that was, you know, like a breath of fresh air. She was the most wonderful woman. Now, where was I? So what I was going to say was the house was occupied by Mrs. Walker. That was one lodger I remember. I don't remember many of the others, but I do remember one lodger called Akim, I think his name was. I think he was Nigerian or somewhere from Africa, and he was studying very hard, very studious, very quiet. And so my memory was that, you know, my father would take in and accept people for who they were. There was none of this, you know, that at that time there was this you know, people would not take those English people who were landlords would be quite specific about who they would take into their houses. And you know, the most despicable signs would be up, you know, that people quote now, no dogs, no Irish, no blood. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that was not my lived experience. We would take, you know, my father would sort of interview the lodger, would show them the space, would talk to them, would get to know them a little bit. And then would accept them and say, you know, this is what we have on offer. This is the rent, you know. And so Akim was, I do remember, because he was so quiet and so studious, and he was obviously sitting some account. I think they were accountancy or something similar exams. But he was the most wonderful lodger. A whole load of people would pass through the house as lodgers. They would study or they would work, and then they would meet partners, or their lives would then evolve and develop, and they would move out to pursue their own lives. My father, the rent was was always, if you like, it was always sort of affordable, and it was so the because my dad knew how hard you have to work to save the money to make a life for yourself. So, and because there were, you know, he didn't need to charge vast sums, because there were five, I think, off the top of my head, rooms that he was renting out. So, you know, it was sort of equal, if you like, if it was shared. Every room had a gas meter in it, and every so often he and I would go into every room, and he would have a bunch of keys with a padlock, and he would open the meter and empty out the pennies, because at that time you had to put a penny in the slot. I remember they started with a penny, and then it went up to shillings in the old money, pounds, shillings and pence. So it was pennies, then shillings, and then half a crown. So we would go round and empty into these bags, and on a Saturday, this was my task. I would sit at the table and I would put the money in little piles, and then bag them up in these paper bags, like the plastic bags that you have now, the bank bags. So they were paper with little holes in, with sort of a, you know, for copper and for silver. And then Dad would take that to the bank in his work bag, actually. He would take his bag and bank all the money. Yeah, so that was our living conditions in the early days. And then as we got older, then we got bedrooms, our own bedrooms. you know, it was something we would aspire to, getting our own bedrooms. And as the pay down, the mortgage became more easier to handle, and Dad's wages became, you know, increased. You know, the unions were very strong, would negotiate, you know, good, as good as they could get, conditions. So in the end, you know, he became reasonably well paid. And
Anya, I want to stop you here. Let us just go back to a few things you mentioned. There's quite a few things that you mentioned. I want to just go back. It's one thing that, you know, your everyday life. And I'm very much also interested in a time when, because you mentioned lodgers and people you were sharing a house with. I want to just find out a little bit more, what was that like when holidays occur? You know, an English holidays, a Polish holidays, or traditions. What was that like for you in the house? What did you do? Do you have like memories from that time?
Well, I mentioned holidays already, in terms of holidays with family that I had. I only, in terms of family in London or anywhere in the UK, we only had one uncle, who and his Italian wife in Whitechapel, who remained in Whitechapel. And so actually he was my second mother's brother. So my father knew of that family when he married my mum.
I meant more like, you know, the Christmas holiday, you know, the Easter, things like that. Did you celebrate a Christmas at home? What was that like?
Yes, we took turns. We would either go to Whitechapel and have Vigilia, or Easter, an Easter meal with Święcone in Whitechapel, or they, my uncle and wife, and then later on cousin would come down and eat with us. So it would be spent with that branch, if you like, of the family, the only one that existed in at that time. It would be traditional. It would be Shenzhen would take the Easter baskets to initially St. Mary's Hall. Later on, it would be the club in Balham High Road, and the eggs and the babka and the bhajia and everything. We would decorate the eggs. My father was quite artistic. We would sit there making patterns on the eggs and dyeing the eggs various colours and then scraping out patterns. He would collect postcards because we would get Easter greetings from Poland from family. Many of them would be postcards of the decorated eggs, and he would keep them as for the design, so that he could inspire him to make designs. And we would shine the eggs with a little bit of butter, make them really nice and shiny so they would stand out in the basket.